Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In terms of moral temptation, we're all in the same boat. All of us are prone to moral sins, and the media makes such sinning easy. Today, exploding more myths about who is vulnerable to the power of the internet. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Erwin Lutzer comes now with the second of six messages, this one on the seductive power of desire.
John Bunyan, in his book entitled The Holy War, discusses how Diabolos, who is the devil, intends to take man's soul. Liken your heart to a castle for just a moment, and the demons are discussing, how are we going to get man's soul to let us in? Because he cannot enter unless the doors are opened from the inside. And one of the demons says, we will promise things that will never be. We will tell him about things that he'd like to have that he shall not receive. And basically it is lies, 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 lies. We will get man's soul to let us in. And that's our problem, isn't it? You and I have a heart, and that heart was designed for God. It is like a castle, but we open its doors to the enemy. And the result is very evident. And the problem is that you and I have within us traitors that want to be tempted by our enemy. And so the enemy plays on those traitors until we are defeated and we let him in. Well, this is a series of messages titled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture, and how necessary these messages are. You know, we live in a world in which the media is everywhere, and somebody asked me this week, is the media evil? Is technology evil? Well, the obvious answer is no, technology is not evil, because technology itself cannot sin, but it is weighted against us, as I mentioned last time in the message. And this past week, a staff member and I happened to be in Orlando, Florida for a conference. And we visited Campus Crusade, and we discovered there its ministry, which is GMO, Global Missionary Outreach, and they are using the internet to spread the gospel all around the world, including Muslim countries, and hundreds and even thousands in certain countries of the Middle East are turning to Jesus Christ, largely because of the power of the internet. And so can media be redeemed and used for good? Absolutely, but it has to be redeemed out of the hands of the evil one. In preparation for this series, I've read a number of different books, and one that I've not quite yet finished has to do with the story of a man who was deeply into pornography and how God delivered him, and we'll make that bibliography available to you at a future time. But the amazing story is he goes into the depth of pornography today, even in the lives of children. Parents, you can't believe what is happening to your children at the age of 4 or 5 or 6 that are already playing video games and into the internet. It is just enough to make a stone cry. So I ask you today, even though I'm not going to go into detail about that, just recognize that what we're talking about is huge. And I learned that the thing that has made the internet so great worldwide is really pornography. It has fueled it. It is the one that has made the internet so successful and so reaches to the ends of the earth. And you and I are supposed to live righteous lives in the midst of this. If you were with us last time, and if you weren't, I hope you get the message. I gave you 3 myths that we have to overcome. 3 myths that we have to explode, and today I'm giving you 3 more myths that we need to confront and destroy. The first myth is this, that this series of messages and what I'm talking about really pertains to somebody outside the church, somebody who perhaps is going to be arrested this week for a sex crime. That's a myth. I'm talking about us. Specifically, I'm talking about your sons raised in a good Christian home. I'm talking about your daughters. I'm talking about our grandchildren. I'm also speaking about your husband, and I'm speaking about your wife. Rather than us thinking that the problem is out there, let's be honest and recognize that it is within all of our hearts, and to look at things more or less on a continuum rather than there's that person over there and there's this person over here, because all of us are tempted, all of us struggle, and all of us at times have failed. So let us simply recognize that the problem is here and not somewhere else. You know, at the day of prayer and fasting, and marvelous time, by the way, as hundreds of us gather together to pray on Wednesday night after a day of fasting, I put a chair in front of the group, and then I asked those who were struggling with impurity to sit on the chair if they wanted special prayer. One person after another came and sat on the chair. If we'd have continued along that line and not moved on, I'm sure the rest of the evening could have simply been people coming to sit on the chair for special prayer. And then I made the statement that if we were honest, all of us at some time would be very appropriate to sit on that chair and say, I struggle with impurity. And some of you who do, it may not be even entirely your fault. I've had a number of men tell me, my father introduced me to it. Think of that power, the power of a father over a son to introduce his child to that kind of bondage and that kind of sin. Now, to get out of it, you're going to have to own it all. It's not a responsibility of pointing fingers, but to simply say that let us not be quick to judge, but recognize that we're talking about all of us at some level. Second myth is that you can be a user and it doesn't impact anything. It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't affect your relationship. What difference does it make as to what I do in private? Huge difference. Because of time, I can't go into it, but it affects your relationship with your wife, with your children, your ability to lead as a father. Because no father can really give free and good guidance to his son as long as he is dealing with a sin that has overcome him, a sin over which he has not victory. And so don't fool yourself. Don't lie about that. And then thirdly, that we can get out of this alone. You know, those who struggle with pornography have all testified that one of the ways that they have gotten out of it, one of the ways is simply by finding a friend to whom they confess, to whom they are accountable. And we'll be saying more about that in future messages. Well, so far for the introduction, would you turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and that's where this message is going. As we look at the cycle downward, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look within our own hearts, and then having looked within our own hearts, we're going to point the way to the solution, which is, of course, our responsibility and our privilege. So James chapter 1, James now gives us the cycle by which we fall into sin. It is the steps downward to death. Let me list them for you and describe them. First of all, we invite our desires to deceive us. We invite our desires to deceive us. I am going to pick it up in verse 13. Chapter 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Let's just stop there for a moment. God does not lure you into sin. God tests us, and that's why the same word temptation here is really translated test at the beginning of the letter. God tests us to bring out the best in us. Satan lures us into sin. He tempts us to bring out the worst. But you can't blame God. James is saying you can't say, well, God, you're the one who got me into this. You're the one who lured me into sin. James says you can't do that. But then he goes on to say, each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, verse 14. Lured and tempted. I love the translation which says, and he is carried away by his own desires. And James here is using the word desire in the sense of lust. Now, there are many righteous desires, the desire for companionship, the desire, of course, to eat, the desire for intimacy, all of those things. But what happens is Satan and, of course, our very own flesh, as James points out here, lures us away. Now, the imagery that is used here is that of a bait. When you're catching fish, you use a certain kind of bait. When you're catching animals, you may use a snare. What he's saying is our desires, unchecked by God, and if not restrained by God, lure us away. They carry us to a different place, James is saying. And they do, don't they? And when you are being carried away by your desire, you're not being carried away to a place where you don't want to go. You are being carried exactly to the place where you want to go. That's why you put yourself in the place of temptation, is because you want to go in this direction, James would say. And then, of course, once you drift off, you can't understand this very well unless you understand the meaning of the word trance, where you are in such a state where you want what you want, to quote the words of Woody Allen, the heart wants what it wants, and you are in such a state that you will pursue that with all that you are, and you'll be totally oblivious to God. It's not that you'll hate God, as Bonhoeffer pointed out. A person in the midst of such a situation doesn't hate God. He just forgets about God. God is blocked out. The consequences of your sin are blocked out. That is taken out of the mind, and there you are, and only one thing matters, and that is the desire, which has now turned into an obsession. So James says that the first step is we have our desires that deceive us. And then he goes on to a second step, and he says, secondly, we act. You'll notice it says, verse 15, then desire when it is conceived. You see, desire and temptation, they are the ones that conspire together, and there's a live birth, and the live birth is sin. My friend, this is a very critical series of messages on the entire topic of sexual purity. I hope that you continue to listen, invite your friends to listen, and at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. God bless you. I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Seductive Power of Desire. Another message in a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Next time, some concrete steps to take to avoid internet temptation. The need for us to guard our hearts has never been greater. This 6-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.